This episode is sponsored by Hulu. The reality queen herself, Lisa Vanderpump, has a new home on Hulu and has teamed up with them to bring you the newest, most exciting reality series yet, Vanderpump Villa. In an escape to the French countryside, Lisa and her staff work, live, and play together 24/7 while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. The series offers first-class luxury with world-class drama. Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu. Welcome to So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey, presented by Betches Media. This is an exploration of all pop culture. From the classic reality TV moments of the past and present, to the latest Daily Mail headlines and everything in between. We'll dive into all the infamous and notorious messes you can't stop watching. We're looking at you, Tom Sandoval. Folks, this is part two of the Vanderpump Rules episode 11 recap. We are joining a scene already in progress between Lala and Joseph. Joe and a Talking Head's like, to be honest with you, I thought Ariana and Sandoval were broken up. I think it's crazy for anybody to assume that I would be like, Sandoval, how's your relationship with Ariana? It just wasn't a thing. Like, move on. What are you, a politician? You thought Ariana and Sandoval were broken up. You went over to their house for Thanksgiving. So if you thought Ariana and Sandoval broke up, well, let's ask some more questions about that. Why did you think that? Did Sandoval say that? You were hanging out with him a lot. It didn't come up when you were on the ski trip and that fan wanted to take a photo with Sandoval and you guys, and Sandoval got all weird about it. Did you guys talk about it then? You were there. Let us know. You're not telling us the full story. Lala goes, you and Schwartzy is like the strangest thing in the entire world. And little Lala's like, fuck yeah. And Joe cracks up. She's like, I'm like, I don't think it's that funny. And Lala goes, but you don't want to be in a relationship with him? And Joe's like, I mean, we got very emotionally close. I would be there when he would cry about Katie and just being there for T-Money. And like, and Lala's like, you call him T-Money? And Joe's like, yeah, I know it's weird. I don't know. And Lala's like, is that a common thing? It's just a random thing because I'm a random girl. And I made up and I was like, oh, Joseph, I don't fucking know. And Lala laughs. And Lala goes, T-Money and Joseph. That should be like when you guys send out your wedding invites. And Joe's like, oh, come on, dude. But at the same time, you can tell Joe's like, oh my God, just give me validation. Say that we're potentially going to be married one day. That's the other thing too. These people that end up like really obsessing about you, they want validation from other people of like, say that we'd be perfect together. Say it. Cause it like keeps that fuel going, you know? So we swing on over to Top Golf. This is when I was like, why are there this many fucking activities? Like we need to go to Top Golf. Like, guys, I'm okay with just sitting around at a bar or a couch, but now we're at Top Golf. And at this point, it's like, yeah, let's jump into an active volcano or something. And James is like, are you ready for some Top Golf with Top Man? This is so cool. And everybody's like, oh, yeah, cool. And James is like, Ariana first, eye on the ball, give it a whack. All right, that got some good air. All right, Ali Dally, all right. And they get some Bloody Marys, and James is like, Katie, how drunk were you last night? Do you remember making out with Tori? And Katie's like, yeah, of course I do. And Ariana's like, I mean, she's cute. And Katie's like, she's going on a date with Schwartz tonight. And Ali's like, that's what's funny. And James is like, wait, so let me get this straight. Oh, so you're chatting with Tori, right? And it's just like, when at what point did it go from like, we're just chatting into should we make out right now? Was it because now Schwartz is going on a date? So you just felt like I should move in right now. Please. And Katie's like, do you guys think I care that much about like what Tom Schwartz does? It's not always about, no, I know. No, I have to ask because it's coincidental. I mean, it's like the same month that you got with Max Big Dick Boyens. It would be funny though if Katie did hook up with everybody Schwartz cheated on Katie with during their relationship. It was just like a whole season of that. James in a Talking Head is like, why is everybody acting like this is so fucking normal? Okay, first off, James, you're on Vanderpump Rules. This is normal at this point. Okay, let me paint the bloody picture, okay? Katie was married to Schwartz. They were married, like in a white dress and vows and cheers, everybody, right? And now they're not. They're divorced. They're dating the same fucking girl that looks like she's fucking 21 years old. Like, what the fuck is this? This shit is fucking weird. DJ James Kennedy sometimes nails it, man. That's, and I'm so, like, the 21 years old, I was like, exactly, dude. She looks barely of age. That was the thing. Wasn't, I didn't give a rip that they were going for the same girl. I could care less. I don't give a shit if it's progressive. I don't care. Like, great. The thing that bothered me was, like, so young. Because then what happens that, like, she's, you know, so young. And then, like, she's, like, in therapy 10 years from now. It's like, oh, once I was, like, used on this reality show, or, like, this couple that were married, they, like, went out. Like, you don't know how she's going to, like, process the trauma from being on this Vanderpump Rules episode. I really hope she isn't in next. I hope this isn't like a storyline that keeps going. Anyways, Katie's like, well, what was going on with you and Lala and Sheena when I was like talking to Tori? And I was like, doing your thing. They were like, I don't want you like to be triggered by him. He's literally like throwing all kinds of jabs under his breath. They're in full earshot of me. His voice is fucking annoying as fuck, talking about Sandoval. And Katie's like, I don't know why they're not understanding. I'm confused. And James is like, well, he invited us paintballing like the guys. Well, everyone. And Ariana's like, so there are group texts where I'm not included? And Allie's like, well, I don't want to paintball. And I don't want to paintball with him. I love paintballing, Allie Bally. Don't say that about paintballing. Whatever you want to do, Allie Bally. And Allie's like, you paintball. Go. You get your anger out on him. That was like a telling line. Like, don't put it on me, put it on him. And Allie, James is like, there might be a sneak attack. I might be in the bush. And Ariana's like, dude, get it. He has his own paintball gear because he thinks he's some sort of fucking professional paintballer. Tom Sandoval, professional paintballer. What's up, girls? Yeah. Thinking about going to Burning Man this year. In the meantime, I've joined a professional paintballing league, dude. It's pretty cool. We go out by Magic Mountain and we just rip it up, dude. Tear it up with some paintballs. I'm a pretty good shot. I don't want to brag, but it's pretty cool. Anyways, Allie's like, Ariana, how's the house stuff going? Ariana's like, well, I got to wait to see if he's going to counter my counter offer. And this is the thing too. Like, okay, so there's been an offer and Ariana has counter offered. And now we're going to see if there's a counter offer to that offer. But what I'm getting from other things that I read is that women should give up. Women should give up. And if a man wants something, a man should get it first. Like, that's sometimes it feels like there's not a lot of, it feels like there's not a lot of delicacy in this conversation. It really does feel like, well, Ariana should give up, period. It's Ariana's fault, period. That's the part that I'm trying to understand. It just doesn't seem a lot of gray area. James is like, so if he rejects the offer, like, what happens? And Ariana's like, well, in the letter, it's basically like, you have this many days to do this. And if you don't do it, like, we're prepared to go to court and have the house sold fire sale style. And James is like, oh, behave. Oh. And Ali's like, do you have any idea of what, when you do move, like, dream place, like, what part of LA? And Ariana's like, well, I guess I want to kind of something that feels like, I don't know. And Katie's like a little tree house. And she does live in the, her new house is in the hills. And Ariana's like, yeah, tree house vibes. So Allie, by the way, I hope it doesn't get to a fire sale. That would be so, you'd lose so much money on that. Anyways, Allie goes, well, that's actually so exciting. You can start like manifesting that. And James is like, I think she is just saying that. And Arne's like, yeah, it's going to be really exciting to have that be mine. And James is like, fuck yeah. Oh, by the way, in terms of the houses, I was on Up and Adam's YouTube show today, this morning, talking about this. And I was like, oh, so Ariana, $1.7 million for her house in the hills. And it's like a shoebox house kind of, but it's great. Like 1.7, that's a lot of money in Los Angeles. That doesn't get you tons, but it looks like a really nice place, right? Like the amount of size for, you know, her. But then I was thinking like, well, Lala got like a $3.2 million house in the Valley. And I was like, you know, is this part of the reason why Lala is going so hard? Because she's like, I got to pay bills. And she got that house in Palm Springs. And we know the Send It to Daryl merch did good. We know the podcast does good and you can make a lot of good money, especially if you're somebody like Lala that, you know, but I mean, is that why she's going this hard? Like making sure this continues because she needs the paycheck. Somebody wrote to me and said, well, no, actually after the Up and Adam said, it's actually she's, I think it was said that Lala said this, that even her mom's helping her out with the house and that she does come from money. And that kind of frustrated me too. Cause then I was like, Lala, you don't get what Ariana goes. Like Ariana, like said before, she doesn't come from family money. She never has. So like, it is really important, like, you know, not losing money on the home and staying there and getting a new place. Like, you know, Lala might not look at things the way because she doesn't experience the same things as Ariana does. She doesn't come from the same background. Like I didn't know that Lala's mom was helping her out with the house. And I that kind of frustrated me because I was like, Lala, then take yourself out of this conversation. If you're being helped out and Ariana isn't being helped out, you got to understand, like, everything evens out in the wash. Like, Ariana might have all these brand deals, but you have somebody actually helping you out. You have a family member helping you out. I mean, which is amazing if you have family that can do that for you, you know? Anyways, Ariana's like, yeah, this house is great and nobody can take it from me. A bouncy song plays. It's about time we collided. Are we there? We got fire, so ignite it. And Lala and old Sheener are headed into California Cryobank because they are going to thaw out Ken Todd. Can you believe I've been in cryo freezing for the entire season? I can't believe that. Lisa put me in there after I said the jacuzzi line, and I'm so thankful that I'm out of cryo freezing now. Oh, please help me. Oh, please. Lala goes, I had my call yesterday to set up my estate plan. It's terrifying. They're like, if you die. And I was like, no wonder Lala needs to do what she's doing. Like, what, are we going to have a whole estate planning episode? Like, next season, season 12, the cast works on their wills. Tom's like, dude, if I die, I want you to have all my lightsabers, dude. Yeah. Okay, so Lala and Sheena are at this cryobank where they've just met Ken, who's been unfrozen. And Lala lets us know that she loved being pregnant. She shows her naked selfie at 4 months pregnant from 2020. Lala meets this guy, Brian Hyde, who seems very excited to be on camera. He's like, what's going on? Let's get somebody pregnant. Let's do this. Lala says, I want to be fully in charge of my child. I don't ever want the unknown. Be like, well, you may work out with your partner. You may enter into a custody battle and have to share. I think this is an interesting, and you can actually make, obviously a child and a home are completely separate things. But Ariana was just saying that too with her house. I want to own something entirely. I don't want it to ever be taken away from me. And I think that's an interesting correlation that you could possibly make of women wanting, you know, men to not fuck up what they're trying to do at all, to have things for themselves. So I'm completely in support of, well, I mean, doesn't matter if I support it or not, but I think it's great that Lala went out and did this for herself, especially that she has this desire to be a mom. I think that's amazing. Cause she has this custody situation she has to deal with Ocean all the time. But she says in the talking head that she just wants to know that her kid is mine forever. So they meet this guy, Brian, about doing this. And they talk about, like, you know, what's the deal with, you know, the sperm, you know, and do people do this for money or they do it, you know, out of the goodness of their heart, because she's nervous about this thing. And I thought, I was like, oh my God, wouldn't it be, this is your storyline for season 12 right now, is that they just make all the male cast members donate sperm. They don't tell Lala. That's Lala's worst nightmare. Santa was like, yeah, dude, I just donated sperm for Lala's baby, just for the future. And George is like, I did it yesterday. And DJ James Kennedy's like, I'm the top man, the number one sperm donor in the group. All right. Brian, the guy, says a lot of donors do tell us that it is in the desire of helping others, but I'm sure the cash helps as well. And Brian says that every donor makes its way into the program has a full psych evaluation. So I guess that actually throws out the men of Vanderpump Rules. They will not be able to participate if they do a psych evaluation. By the way, this Ken was frozen, but Ken would be a great I can't believe I donated sperm to Lala's baby. I can't believe that. But she says, you know, the most important part of this process is the donor selection. And this, you know, and Sheena's there to support her. And Brian thinks this will be an amazing story to tell. And, you know, he's like, hey, I'm always going to do my best to make this very simple, very easy, exciting at the same time. I hope maybe there'll be a laugh along the way here and there. Who knows? I'm spelling a spinoff series of Who's Lala's Daddy coming this fall to Bravo TV. Anyways, Lala says, this whole thing, getting pregnant, I'm going to be forming a family because right now I feel like I'm part of something that's broken. And Sheena is like, oh, it's obviously so much to think about, but at the end of the day, you know you're the most amazing mother. You're going to provide all of your babies the most amazing life. Lala's crying, wiping away the tears. And Lala in a talking head says, I pictured my life being like how I grew up, my mom and dad in the same household, but that didn't happen. And that's really fucking hard. She starts crying in her talking head. I felt like I deeply failed this innocent soul and it wasn't because of me. So I'm not risking that again. I mean, yeah, that's, I hear what she's saying. And then, so that Brian leaves, the guy from the cryobank, and they're just sitting in this cryobank, you know, like now it's like a scene. Now it's a place for a scene. And Sheena's like, dude, the beach was so intense. So we go from this moment of kind of like beautiful, you know, like this thing about like a very real thing about a family. And then Sheena's like, oh my God, that beach was insane the other day. Honestly, I'm still hung up on our conversation with Ariana. And Lala's like, right? How do you feel about it? And this would be a moment where I would think like hung up on the conversation. Like, do you mean that you're thinking about like how much sense Ariana made and like you understand completely where she's coming from? No, that is not what this is at the cryobank. Sheena's like, I'm just treading lightly with her now. Like, I don't want to upset her. And I was like, this is wild. Like, what are you treading lightly about? You need to forgive Tom Sandoval. You need to move like all of these things. No one like, people are treading even lighter around Tom Sandoval. Lala goes, I don't know if she's just trying to stand her ground, but she's not going to win this game. Like, so once again, in this episode, we have come to the conclusion that men will always win the game. Lala is one of the most powerful women, female cast members, allegedly on this cast, and going, she's not going to win this game because men will always win. And that's what it feels like Lala is saying there. Lala goes, I don't know if she's just trying to stand her ground. You know, it's very simple. Move out. It's like, I can't talk about it anymore. Really? You can't talk about it anymore? Okay. So you're getting tired of talking about it? Okay. Got it. Yeah. And I just, once again, you guys, explain, and I know somebody will, explain this to me like I am the man child that I actually am. Explain this to me. I don't, is Lala trying to be a villain at this point? Like, how do you have this beautiful scene talking about your family, a very real thing, and then go to literally shitting on the person that cried about you, cried on your shoulder the day before, who you were holding hands, nuzzling with? Oh my God. Oh my God. And now it's back to this. We don't need a villain, Lala. We have Sandoval right there. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yeah, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So, the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. But you are literally like injecting yourself into this. And you're just like, oh my God. And Sheena's like, I know. What do you know? Like, what? No wonder there was a blow up at the reunion. This would be fucking painful to watch. I mean, it really would be painful to watch. And I hope, I mean, Sheena, come on. You don't think that's weird to watch that one scene where you're all like on her and like, in, you know, encouraging her to open up. She cries, all of that stuff. And then this is what you get. Lala's like, you're choosing to stay in the house. I don't feel bad. I don't know. It's like, we're supposed to have sympathy for Lala's situation, which she's still dealing with the repercussions. It's brought her to this cryo facility because she does not trust men at all because of what Randall did. Yet in the same scene, we are bad mouthing Ariana for standing her ground, for not just hightailing it, for making sure she is set up financially and set up in a place that she feels safe before she leaves. But no, Lala can't deal with it. Lala, it's too much. And I just feel like that's the kind of hypocritical scene that we've come to really know from Vanderpump Rules. And I know Lala doesn't care. Lala doesn't listen. It doesn't matter what anybody says. She's going to do what she does. But like, it's just, I think it's wildly disappointing as a viewer. And I don't know, like, maybe I'm watching the show wrong. I don't know. Anyways, Sheena's like, I think a big part of it is her pride. And she's like, well, I can't go into an apartment. And Lala's like, whoa, so hold on. Your pride is saved living with the man who cheated on you with your best friend. You have more pride moving to Sunset, living in a box. And Sheena's like, one day this will all be over. And whenever it is, it will make sense of why it took this long, you know? And Lala's like, I hope so. I just think this was one of the shittier scenes. And it was a beautiful scene before that. That I think as an audience, we all support. Like, you're like, hell yeah, get your family, girl. You are a great mother. And then to turn around, it's like, Lala, she's an owner of that house. You can't. And also, Lala knows how the legal system works. And if you watch the after show too, it's like, even Ariana's like, Yeah, Tom just expected me to like pack a bag and leave. That's what he really thought was going to happen. And I don't know. It just feels really shitty, that scene. And I know, God, I find it really, really shitty. And anyways, the song plays. Let's get into some fun stuff. Those pretty eyes, you got devil that you hide. I come alive, you make me feel alive. I turn you off so I don't have to hear your ring. Your lips are running, but I don't hear a thing. And Tommy Schwartz making his way to a place called Hair Boss to see Joe for an appointment. This Hair Boss might have to fire Joe after this bleach job. I will say what's funny is that, listen, look at my hair if you're watching on YouTube. I'm a fuckwit when it comes to style, hair, any of that stuff. But I will say it is very funny reading the comments of people saying, this is not how you dye someone's hair. You don't do it at the root. What the fuck are you doing? Like, this was, I mean, shockingly, like there's a TikTok trend on TikTok of hairstylists, like when you're watching Vanderpump Rules and you're an actual hairstylist and watch this scene. So I'm actually kind of curious what Joe says about this, because it looks like she really fucked his hair and really fried it. But also, we had a great revelation later in this episode where DJ James Kennedy reveals that Schwartz, he's been dyeing his hair different shades of brown to cover the grays. And I was like, I had no clue about that. I didn't catch that at all. Amazing. Anyway, Schwartz is like, hello, Lena. Good to see you. Lena's the Hair Boss owner. And I don't think anybody's like made this connection yet. If you listen to Kristen Doty's podcast, Kristen Doty just revealed a couple weeks ago that Schwartz fucked Lena. Sorry, made love to Lena, Joe's boss. Joe slept with this girl as well. And gives Schwartz a hug. And she's like, good to see you. You look great. And he's like, well, you're not about to. Actually, I didn't mind the blonde. I thought it kind of looked cool, but people are, anyways, Schwartz is like, I miss your face. You look gorgeous. Like, yeah, I bet you do. Lena's like, Joe's ready for you. And Schwartz is like, you guys can do anything you want. Full midlife crisis. I rarely see you in action, Joe, except for in my bedroom. And Joe's like, well, you're going it right now. Some sit. And Schwartz is like, yeah, just do anything. And Joe's like, yeah, we're going to do something really fun. Are we going to bleach it? Yeah. I mean, come on. Are you kidding me? It's not a big deal. Hey, what'd you do last night? Well, I went on a date. Yeah. Ooh, right. How'd that go? It was good. It was with Tori. And they show us a scene of Schwartz and Tori with Schwartz moving in for a kiss. And Joe is like, ha, where's this human coming from? I've never heard of this person. And it's so funny. I think, it is funny. It's like, I wonder if Joe gave him such a bad bleach job because he was talking about dating other girls. But Schwartz is like, oh, she's been very close to Sheena for like 10 years. Like almost implying that like they're the same age. And it's like, no, like Tori was a little girl when Sheena was like, well, and Joe's like, okay, well, I'd really like to know why the girls are allowing her to like, quote unquote, go on a date with you if she's in the friend group. And Schwartz is like, well, that's gone out the window. The whole don't violate the whole friend group. The game has changed ever since Katie and Max. The game, oh God, this is just, Joe goes, super close friend group, way more in the friend group than me. How come I'm getting all the hate? And Schwartz is like, here's another tidbit for you. She actually made out with my ex-wife the night before we went out on a date. What? Zoinks, what? And Schwartz is like, which is a little plot twist I didn't see coming. Yeah, you did. The moment camera, like, Joe's like, wait, what? How does that make you feel, bro? And Schwartz is like, it was bizarre. Just knowing the fact that she was playing tongue hockey with Maloney the night before. Well, actually, she's going on a date with Katie today. It is so weird, you guys. This storyline is so weird. We now go across to Katie's apartment across town. And I'm like, what in the fried green tomatoes hell is this? It's a painting date. Tori and Katie Maloney are sitting across from each other. And I'm like, why not crocheting? Let's blast some Kenny G and have a Pinot Grigio. And Tori's like, I'm looking at like this as like a masterpiece. It's literally just this. And anyways, they're just painting, like showing each other's paint. and talking about Bob Ross. Shout out to Bob Ross. I love you, man. Anyways, it's just weird. They're just a painting date. It's so weird. Go to Color Me Mine and make some pottery. We swap back to Schwartz, and Joe's like, ugh, so does she like you or Katie? And Schwartz is like, I think she prefers Katie. Also, this is so weird. It's like, Schwartz, if you think she prefers Katie, maybe like don't do the date. Oh, that's right. You're doing it for the show. Joe's like, good luck, bro. Broseph. I'm Joseph. You're Broseph. And Schwartz's hair is processing the blonde. And Joe's like, what are you doing tonight? And Schwartz is like, we're going to the Mondrian. It's a singles mixer. Tom didn't want to go alone. Oh, yeah. I want to go. And Schwartz kind of just hesitantly goes, you can come. Yeah. Well, you're going to show up with some pretty kick-ass hair. And Schwartz is like, yeah, and a kick-ass chick. Lena, look, by the way, look at the people in the background, because everybody in the shop looks concerned with what Joe is doing to Schwartz's head. And Lena comes over and goes, hey, how's it going over? How's the head doing? Schwartz is like, I'm actually burning now. It's like burning. And Lena's like, okay, should we check it, Joe? Should we check it? They take off the shower cap and his hair is white. And Schwartz is like, oh my God. And Joe's like, yeah, who are you? And Schwartz is like, this is serious. You look good, bro. Really? Yeah, it looks great. And Schwartz is like, Bieber-esque? And Joe's like, yeah, 100. Let's go to the bowl. And Schwartz is getting it washed. And he's like, it feels awesome. Do I look edgy? And Joe's like, you look like Eminem now. No, he goes, ready for the blue? And Schwartz is like, sure, I kind of like the orange, but I agree with your decision. And Joe's like, hey, you're going to love all of this idea. We're going to do your pubes next. And so Lena now is fully helping with this. I don't think Lena trusts Joe as a solo job anymore. And Joe's washing his hair again. And she's like a little boy, you look like alfalfa. And Schwartz is like, now I look brown again. Oh, I hate people who don't do hair. You don't need to worry. You're in good hands. Joseph's hands. Then we come back and a song plays. It's like, I'ma be the baddest. I'ma be the baddest. I'ma be the baddest. I'ma be the baddest that you ever done saw. And we get this shot. It's like straight out of Reservoir Dogs with, like, you know, just the girls walking in slow motion to this bar, the Foxfire Lounge, which is in the valley on, what is it? Like Magnolia and, is it Woodman? Magnolia and, I don't know. It's right across the street from a Ralph's, which is so funny to me for some reason. And they're all like dressed up and it's like slow motion walking down. And you got like Ariana and Katie. Lala's on the side of Ariana. Sheena's on the side of Katie. It's like they're walking into this dive bar. Foxfire Lounge, by the way, that's where Rachel and Joe and Sandoval and Schwartz, they all hung out there. A lot of BPR people hang out at Foxfire Lounge. And also a nice little fun tip, one of my favorite movies, Magnolia from 1999, directed by Paul Thomas Anderson. There's a great scene that was filmed at the Foxfire Lounge. So these girls are walking. It's girls' night. And Ariana's like, they sit down. But the shot was so extreme of these ladies just all decked out. And Ariana's like, hey, Katie, tell me how your date was. And Lala's like, wait, what is it? And Katie's like, a date? And Lala's like, who'd you go on a date with? And Katie's like, who do you think? And Lala laughs. She's like, I don't know. You're banging Max. And little Lala's like, yeah, you fuck Max. And Sheena's like, the same person that Schwartz went on a date with last night. And Lala's like, Tori? You went on a date with Tori? And Kate's like, she came over to my house. I love that. We fucking painted. Lala's like, was it weird the night before she was on a date with your ex-husband? And by the way, Lala, you should be thrilled that Katie did this, because you're so worried about your show. You're so worried about the storylines on your show. So this has nothing to do with Ariana. Can you breathe a sigh of relief? No, she's questioning her about it. But I agree with Lala. It is really kind of weird. Katie goes, I mean, I stopped thinking about it. Yeah, but I think, I don't know. And Lala's like, can't be any weirder than banging his best friend. And Katie goes, tequila, Katie's a hoe. He can have Joe. Oh my God. Is she about to rap? And she's like, there's no competition there. There really isn't. I'm telling you, there's Katie and Schwartz. Katie's going to throw down every time. We now go over to Sky Bar for this Hellfire mixer, singles mixer. And Joe arrives with Schwartz, and Schwartz is wearing a trucker's hat covering his new hair. And they order some drinks, and Schwartz is like, are they ready for the debut? And he takes off his hat, and his hair is just so blonde, shaved close around the sides and back with long on top. And it's a crazy mess sticking up. I don't mind it. I thought it was kind of cool, but like I said, don't trust me. Schwartz is like, I feel some Ken energy. Shout out to the Barbie movie. And Joe is like, wow, okay. And he starts playing with it. No nails. Ready? And Schwartz, all blonde now in a talking head, goes, you know what they say, blondes have more fun. I gotta say, so far, it's ringing true for me. Sandoval arrives with Kyle Chan and Sandoval's assistant, new assistant, Craig. Juliana in the notes calls him Tattoo Craig because he looks just like a, I thought legitimately it was one of like Tom's band members or just like Tom's like cool friend. I was like, oh, how am I ever noticed this guy? No, it's his assistant that hangs out with him at singles mixers. Make it make sense. I was like, what in the Adam Levine hell is this? And Santa was like, whoa, dude, I just thought your hair was really short on the thighs. I didn't see the dye job. And Schwartz is like, I wanted to mix it up and reinvent myself a little bit like Lady Gaga. And Schwartz continues in a tucking head. I've been a little more upbeat, a little more pizzazz. And Joe is sitting cross-legged and sucking on a lollipop. She's like, I love it. It's so sexy. And she's like kind of touching him and rubbing his back and, you know, kind of very possessive. Schwartz finishes in a talking head going, I'm embracing my pre-midlife crisis moment. Bro, we're not pre. We are smack dab in the middle of it. So Sandoval sucking on a lollipop. The ladies love it when I suck on a lollipop. And he's like, are you going to be social? Are you guys going to be social? And Schwartz is like, yeah. You guys are both single, right? And Joe's like, yeah. And Schwartz is like, 100%. I went on a date last night. And Joe keeps just like touching Schwartz's hair, is like yanking on it. And Sam's like, oh, you did? With who? And Schwartz is like, me and Tori. Oh, she graduated high school? We went out and got dinner. Joe's still pulling his hair with the lolly in her mouth. And Schwartz is like, she's weird. Kyle Chan, Sandoval, and the new assistant are all watching as Joe just keeps fingering Schwartz's hair nonstop. Sandoval and a talking head, he's like, Schwartz and Joe are on two different pages. Joe is looking at their situationship as a glass half full relationship. And Schwartz, just being Schwartz, is going to give off mixed signals. Part of his like superpower. He's so charming all the time, dude. Okay, so Sandoval does know how relationships work. He does understand the intricacies of this situation, yet he cannot open it to himself. Is that what we're to believe? Schwartz is like, Joe, can you not? And Joe's like, no, sorry. It looks good. It's my work. And Schwartz is like, I know. But Joe's like, okay, you're going to make it look bad though. You know, and what Schwartz is like, the hidden meaning there is that Joe fingering his hair the whole time is going to make him look bad to the single ladies. Even Kyle Chan pipes up and goes, that's not going to get him girls. You know, we bop back over to girls' night and Lala's like, well, I had lunch at a hot dog stand with Joe yesterday. And Sheena's like, wait, how did that go? And Katie looks really confused. And she's like, wait, what is this? And Ariana's like, babe, spill the tea. What the heck? And Lala's like, yeah, I'm just now telling you. And Katie's like, how did this happen and why? And I feel like the answer should be like, well, we're on a show called Vanderpump Rules and production wanted me to do it. I'm kind of a production pet right now. Lala goes, she's apparently wanted to share her side of things and I'm open to all sides. And Katie's like, you don't have any relationship with this girl. You don't know this girl. This girl's nothing to you. I'm something to you. So why you got to go like feel bad for this chick? And Lala's like, well, I went and had a conversation. You act like I told her to come swimming with my child. I please don't have that scene of Vanderpump Rules. Yeah. So Katie's like, why? And Lala goes, because she reached out to me and said, I would like to have this conversation with you. And Katie's like, why? And Lala's like, it doesn't matter. Lala and a talking head goes, Joe is fucking harmless. Everybody says Joe is fucking harmless. I understand what you think. I understand what you mean, but Joe is not harmless. Like, yes, I feel bad for Joe, but Joe 100% went for Schwartz with hoping to be with Schwartz. That is not harmless. She's lied for Schwartz. She's done wild things. She's trying to put herself directly in the friend group, wants to be on the show. Like, talk to Doty. Like, I mean, knows this show in and out. She is not harmless. Like, I mean, like, I feel a lot of empathy, and I did feel really bad for her because at the end of the day, Schwartz does not want to be with her. And Schwartz is such a dum-dum and should have cut that relationship off a long time ago. But she's not harmless. She just, I'm so sorry if that's an unpopular opinion. She's not. She doesn't seem like someone who's trying to roll up in here and va-voom, fuck your man. Like, she just doesn't seem that way. When I say vaginas just don't fall on dicks, I actually think with Joanne Schwartz, vaginas may just fall on dicks. I think that's such a... Lala goes, Schwartz gave her my name to reach out. I like how Schwartz is like giving people of like, well, Joe, you could like reach out to Lala. Here's her numbers. Maybe production can help. And Katie's like, what? Why? Because I'm soft right now, Katie. Lala goes, because I'm soft, you son of a bitch. So he has a girl who's his friend, girlfriend. I don't fucking know that I've met. And I see my other friend calling her a crackhead, which, by the way, folks, I did find on Joe's Instagram. I did look at this because I think it was Jolene Lunzer that told me that Joe initially was the one that called herself a crackhead. Initially, and I found it. December 9th, 2019, Joe posts photos of herself making weird faces as a kid and now, and goes, so I'm not a crackhead. I just always make the same face. This is before Katie gave the crackhead comment. So Joe was calling herself a crackhead in her Instagram posts before Katie said that. So I think Katie got that potentially from Joe because they were following each other on Instagram back then. Joe called herself a crackhead. I just thought that was interesting. Katie's like, Schwartz is whatever, and I'm the bad one. And Lala's like, you're not the bad one at all. And Katie's like, okay, Lala. And Lala's like, you're treating me like I'm the bad one. And Katie's like, I'm responding to what you said. And Lala's like, I barely see Schwartz. Katie's like, it's not making a lot of sense. And Lala goes, I don't care. It's not my job for my life to make sense to you. That's Lala's big thing. When she's pressed on anything, she defaults to, I don't care. Like, she's getting a lot of heat right now. She tells the podcast, I don't care. I don't care. I think Lala cares very, very much. I think Lala's doing what it takes to survive and thrive. And I think, like I've said, every recap this season, I think Lala has a huge future ahead of her. And I think, you know, I think she wants to be in that vein of, I don't know. I'm really curious where she sees her life outside of reality shows of what she wants, because I think, you know, her podcast very successful. I think she could be, you know, I think, you know, she looks up to like Heather McDonald. I think she wants to be kind of that. And I think she could be that. I don't know. I'm really curious about where we go, where Lala wants to go from here. Also, speaking about Lala and Schwartz, it shows you how reality shows, you can get whiplash in terms of relationships and where people are at with each other. This is one from one of my favorite Instagram accounts, By Wig Hello Drama. Great Instagram account. And they do a lot of hard work about going and finding scenes and stuff. But this was a scene from Vanderpump Rules season 10 at the very beginning when Lala confronted Schwartz for playing pickleball with one Randall Emmett. And this is a really fascinating scene to me. Let me... Okay, here we go.
From my point of view, it seems absurd. Pacini is horrible, but you completely cut me out of your life for hanging out with someone 7 months afterwards.
And I don't ask for much, Schwartz. I would never, over cheating, say you cannot hang out with someone. I thought on the rooftop, I was very clear. I'm going into something that is going to be life-changing for me. And if you don't want to be on my team, that's fine, but I can't have you around me.
I'll be honest, son. The fact that you wanted to have a meeting, it felt a little egocentric to me.
For you to say that that was ego-driven, that's f***ed up, and you better take that back.
Well, I'll take it back, because from my point of view, it felt like...
Well, from my point of view, you're weak.
You're weak.
Anybody else would put in my situation right now, this would take them the f*** out. I wake up every day, I provide for my f***ing kids. I'm paying ass for these f***ing lawyers. I'm not a weak bitch.
When I hung out with Randall, it was not malicious. What you sent me via text, it was malicious. I took a dig at my marriage. You said I don't associate with weakness.
Right.
You stand by that?
I don't associate with weakness.
Like, who the f*** do you think you are? All of a sudden, I'm not spending the rest of my life with the woman I love. We're not going to have kids. We're not going to grow old together. I'm not, like, worried about what's going on in Lala's life. To be frank. That really
and hurt my feelings. You said that. And that's probably the lowest point of my entire life. It really hurt my feelings.
Well, I apologize for my timing.
I have to make a stand. You choose me, or you're my enemy.
With this, it is black and white. You gotta pick a side.
You don't think that sounds absurd?
I'm taking no prisoners. Like, this is what it is.
This is the year of burning bridges, and I'm okay with that.
So maybe this is the year of burning bridges for Ariana. But that's it. Really, it's interesting that we have 10 seasons of documented scenes with all of these people and all of these relationships, and where she took such a hardcore stance with Schwartz, but now she's fine with Schwartz. But also the year of burning bridges, like, maybe that's how Ariana needs to approach it, of like, it is black and fucking white. You pick a side, black and white. But she didn't do that. She just very meekly said, listen, I'm just not going to put myself in that position to be hurt again or be around people that I don't want him to know about my life. I don't want that. But like, when Lala does it, it's fine. But when I don't know, I'm just so confused about this. So thank you for being my therapist, you guys. Anyways, so back in this fight, and, you know, Katie's like, it's not making a lot of sense. And Lala goes, I don't care. It's not my job for my life to make sense to you. And Katie's like, well, I like people that are consistent. Once again, Katie always kind of like, you might not like Katie, you might like her as a person, but she has always been saying the same thing. And Sheena's like, well, I think she's been pretty fucking consistent for you, Katie. Thank you, Sheena. Wouldn't it be amazing once, like, this is the season I want. And I think when this season happens, and hopefully it's next season, Sheena will be a fucking hero and star. Like, I want Sheena to take a stand for what Sheena feels and not be, you know, I don't need her to be Ariana's lackey. I don't need her to be Lala's lackey. I know Sheena has a total point of view, and I don't want it to be influenced by anyone. Tom Sandoval, I want Sheena to be like, this is how I fucking feel, and it's the year of burning bridges for me. But Sheena is so nice deep down, and she does want, even if you don't believe it, everybody to be happy. And so she does ride that fence sometimes, or at least that's how the edit makes it out to be, so many seasons in a row. But I would love for once for Sheena to be like, I don't care. I don't need any of this. I got a fucking family. I'm like, you know, like, I'm reality show gold, baby. Like, I want that for Sheena. Katie's like, well, it doesn't feel like consistent to me. And Lala goes, you weren't best friends with Joe. You weren't best friends with Raquel. You're still holding on real tight. At some point, you got to let it go. And if you want to hold on to it, that's on you. I wish you the best. Hope all is good with you. The softer side of Lala Kent. And Katie stays quiet, just digesting what she's heard. Ariana just staring in disbelief. By the way, Lala, you should be happy. Ariana, nothing was about her in this scene. Over at Sky Bar, the singles, the women's are out there ready to mingle. And the women are like, hi, guys, how are you? Welcome to Singles LA. Everybody single here? And Schwartz is like, yes, well, he may not be. And Kyle, they're talking about Kyle Chan. And the woman's like, that's why we have this system. Green is for single. Yellow's for the if you're open. Then if you're the wingman, you get a red one. It's like little stickers. This feels like an STD test. And Joe's like, let's do it. And now they go hunting. I'm sorry, dating. And Kyle goes, find anybody you like. And Schwartz is like, I don't have my glasses on, so I can't even see. It's not my fault, whatever happens at this point. And Kyle's like, You need to be not always with Joe. And Schwartz is like, I know. And Kyle's like, how are you going to find a girl? And Schwartz is like, did we lose Tom already? And Sandoval's out there talking with a couple girls. He's like, and by the way, girls, I always said this back in the day when people were sleeping with Tristan Thompson, stop sleeping with Tom Sandoval. Stop sleeping with Tom Schwartz. Like, it just, like, we can say all this shit till we're blue in the face, but they're not going to back off. They're not going to not sleep with you. They're not going to make the right decisions for themselves. Men, a lot of us, including we do not make the right decisions a lot of the time. We're fucking dolts. Like, truly. So you can't, like, just like then still be willing to throw yourself at these people just because they're on TV. Like, it sucks. It sucks that you have to be the bigger person in the situation, but we see these girls just like lining up. This one girl with Tom is like, I like when men can wear women's jewelry, like a pearl necklace. I'm like, girl, you're about to be in heaven. And Sandoval goes, I wear like a lot of he goes, I wear a lot of women. I wear a lot of women. I wear a lot of women. All my blouses are from Zara. Where? I wear a lot. Actually, I wear a lot of women's stuff. And girl number one goes, you got very nice style. You got very nice style. Go, thank you. If you like that. I'm wearing a training bra right now. You've got nice style. Thank you, dude. Thank you. Do you know I have a pool? Schwartz in a scene goes, hi, I'm Tom. And this girl's like, I'm Gabby. And Schwartz is like, what's up, Gabby? And Kyle is the wingman. Kyle's like, are you here for yourself or are you here with him? And Gabby's like, no, that's just my friend. And Schwartz is like, do you want a drink? And she's like, yeah, let's do a shot. And he's like, whoa, straight to the point. Schwartz knows. He's like, easy pickings. And Gabby goes, let me see your hair, Tom. Can I have your hat? And he's wearing the hat. And Schwartz hesitates. And Gabby demands, goes, put it on my head. And Schwartz is like, for now, can I get it back later? And Joe's watching this whole exchange. It's like, ooh. Schwartz is like, only because this is a sentimental hat. You can keep it, actually. I have more. Like, how did it go from, like, all of a sudden there's a sentimental hat, but you can keep it? And Joe comes up and goes, you gave her your hat? I'm the only one that wears your hats. And Schwartz is like, yeah. And Joe's like, oh, no, you don't have another one. And Schwartz is like, I have a bunch in my storage unit, like 70. And Joe goes, oh, good. Oh, good. And Schwartz is like, I know. I do have a ton. And Joe puts her hands up in the air and goes, woo. And Schwartz is like, where's Sandoval? Cut back to Sandoval. Girl number two is like, do you have any tattoos? Are you a tattoo guy? And Sandoval's like, I do, actually. It's a flaming A on my ass. My stupid roommate who never wiped herself. It's her name, Ariana, the first name and letter of the alphabet. I'm not sure if you are familiar with the alphabet A. And the girls laugh. And, you know, then Sam was like, hey, well, it's pretty stupid, right? What are your opinions on pins and batteries, right? No, and Kyle Chan's like, what's the complicated situation, Schwartz, with you and Joe? And Schwartz is like, no, it's not complicated. And Gabby's like, are you single? And Schwartz is like, yeah. And Gabby's like, are you sure? Positive. And then Gabby's like, then kiss me. And Kyle's like, oh. And Schwartz whispers to Gabby, I'm a makeout slut. Listen, you can't tell. He warns everybody. He truly is. And Gabby whispers back, goes, you've never kissed anyone like me. And Schwartz is like, oh, my God. Ready? Like, Schwartz is like, girl, I've kissed everybody. Gabby sticks her tongue out and ends up like to reach Schwartz. And Joe is looking on, smiling. And Gabby's like, no, that was not a kiss. And she grabs his neck to pull him back. And Schwartz is like, wait. Oh. And Gabby's like, that's not a fucking kiss. Look at me. And Joe walks up and goes, what in tarnation? And Schwartz is like, oh, my God. And Joe smiling goes, ha, I'm headed out. Enjoy. And Schwartz is like, hey. Joe in a talking head goes, I was under the impression that we were here to support Tom Sandoval. And then when we got here, he was interested in other women. Ah, turns out he's a guy. And Gabby goes, he's shy. Joe continues in a talking head, goes, I mean, what am I? Chopped liver, you know? So finally, she admits that what we all know is that, yes, she definitely does want this man. She wants this man, period. Point blank. And she continues to put herself in these situations. But more importantly, Schwartz allows herself to be in these situations. And this is... it sucks. And Joe turns to go and goes, bye, yuck. And Schwartz is like, yeah, great. Joseph, Schwartz in a talking head is like, maybe it's not realistic to be as close as me and Joe are and go out and date other people, hang out with other people, have sex with other people. I don't know. I'm a little baby man. I'm like starting to wonder if she's in a little deeper than I am, you know? Yeah. Yeah, we know, Schwartz. And Schwartz is like, she's not my girlfriend at all. See, look, I'm single. And he pulls up the green sticker. And Gabby's like, yep, doesn't look like it. And Schwartz is like, no, I am single. And Joe walks out and goes, gross. Joe in a talking head goes, I know the truth. And the truth is, we are still hooking up. We've said I love you to each other. It bothers me that he doesn't want to share this relationship with his friends. So that's the other thing, is that Joe is not being hid from his friends. It's the fact that they're still hooking up that is being, they're still doing the hippity dippity. Because, yeah, like, he's bringing Joe out. They all know Joe. They all see Joe everywhere. The big piece of information is that they are hooking up still all of these times. That's a huge piece of information. It's huge. And Schwartz is like, I just want to make sure Joe's okay. And Gabby's like, she'll be okay. And Joe finishes her talking head and goes, I'm tired of feeling like a secret. And I think that's the thing, is like, she's not a secret. She's around. The secret part is they are currently hooking up. And Joe walks out of the Sky Bar and is like, I hate this. I hate this. And this is like a similar reaction to the last time she was at Hotel Ziggy on the Sunset Strip, you know, but it was because the girls were making fun of her. So Joe is getting it from the girls, getting it from Schwartz, and she's put herself in a very frustrating position. And Schwartz has put her in that position as well. So now we are finally at paintball day. We don't need this scene at all. This is dumb as hell. Shooting people with paintballs. Okay, paintball day. So all the guys are getting there and girls as well. And Brock is like, well, I'm definitely underdressed for today. I've got my thin little bungee smugglers. You can see my balls hanging out. Ah, let's do some paintballs. I got my big old tree trunk legs. And James arrives with Ally Bally, and James is like, paintball time. Let's go. Guys day. And Schwartz is like, Lala. And Lala's like, when did you do that to your hair? And Schwartz is like, I don't know. I just woke up like this. And Lala was like, was it to hide the grays? And Schwartz is like, no. And James is like, I thought maybe you got sick of dyeing it like the wrong brown. So you're like, fuck it. I'm going to bleach it. In a talking head, James is laughing. He's like, oh, am I the only person that realizes that Schwartz has been covering his gray hairs? The shades of the brown. It's getting more intense, more intense, more intense. But you're definitely not going to see any gray hairs when they're all bleached blonde, are you? And they show a montage of all Schwartz's brown. I never even noticed this, but he's dead on right. The only funny thing, though, is in DJ James Kennedy's talking head, his hair color is different. And I'm like, you probably know it because you're doing the same damn thing. Like, DJ James Kennedy's hair is like all wonky now. But I never knew that. I never knew that that Schwartz was dyeing his hair. That honestly, I don't know. That was the big revelation. That shocked me bigger than Scandoball. Sandoval's like, what's up, Sheena? Tom fully dressed up like an evil superhero. He's got like all the like accoutrement. He's like that guy that goes to the paintball store. And he's like, give me one of everything, dude. I have money to burn. Sheena's like, hi. And Sandoval's like, how's it going? And she's like, good. How are you? You guys playing today? And she's like, no, I'm not playing. I'm just here for moral support. I had no idea this was outdoor. I assumed we'd be like indoor, AC, more of like a laser tag situation. And Lala's like, oh no, this is paintballing, bitch. And Lala's like, little Lala's like, yeah, bitch. And they show a desolate landscape, dry, brown, with rusty old Jeeps and burned out camper vans and barrels. This actually takes me back to that scene from many seasons ago when Ariana was going like through some really emotions around her birthday and her dad. And Sandoval like wants to go to Vegas to like smash cars. He's like, but they're like, you smash cars with big other cars. And, you know, like you're like, oh, don't go, dude. Like, he's like, but it's like a once in a lifetime opportunity to smash cars, dude. Anyways, they're like, you guys ready? Everybody go. Tattoo Craig, the new assistant, is there as well. Ann missed out on paintballing in singles night. And Matt, the combat ref is like, you're going to have to maybe get some facial reconstruction if something hits you. If it breaks your, you know, it rips your nose, it can knock your teeth out. And Sheena whispers, it doesn't seem fun to me. I mean, Sheena's already lost a tooth, you know what I'm saying? And we do have rattlesnakes out there. And DJ James Kennedy's like, there's what? Zoinks! Matt's like, yeah, snakes. And he's like, are there worms with mustaches? Oh my God. But he's like, when you get hit with a paintball, it breaks on your body. You're out. Any questions? And Sheena's like, are they picking teams? Are there team captains? Can I be one? And Ali's like, I have to know who's on whose team. Sandoval points to James. He's like, you're one, dude. I'm two. And James is like, yeah. Sandoval points to the people playing. Okay. One, two, one, two, one. I learned this trick on Special Forces on Fox, where I took Jojo Siwa down, dude. James raises his arms like, if you've got your number, I'm number one guy in the group. Anyways, the team won. James is the captain. Team two, Sandoval's the captain. But all I'm concentrating on Brock's little short shorts. Who wears short shorts? It's me, Brock. I do. There. Sandoval's like, yeah, guys, I've got bandanas. I brought them for everybody. Listen to me for a second, okay? Do not get in groups. spread the fuck out, dude. Let's do this. And Schwartz to his team is like, we can just chill. And there you go. Sandoval's cold-blooded. He takes this shit seriously. Sheena's watching and she's like, Sandoval's like a professional over here. Sandoval's holding up his gun. He's like, I got hit on my shoe, dude. And Sheena's like, have they started shooting yet? And Lala's like, yeah, I hear them. There's a lot of shooting and moving and just boy shit. And Lala's like, such a weird group today, right? Can we bitch about Ariana for a little bit? And she's like, there's 12-year-olds here. One of them said he's 23 and he met Sandoval and they go out together. So Sandoval makes friends at the, I like that Sandoval has this other life where he's just like paintballing on his days off. I like that. Sheena goes, I hang out with Tori. She's 24. And Lala goes, it's a little weird. Did you stay after girls' night? And Sheena's like, no, I left right when you left. You parked in the front. I parked in the back. And Lala goes, the energy just kind of took a turn. And I was like, yeah, you completely got defensive when Katie was asking you about Joe. And she's like, yeah, I was not trying to stay and hang out. And then she turns to Allie. She and Katie kind of got into it at girls' night. And Lala's like, we've been getting into it a lot. Also, it is fine to not hang out with people. It is fine to not be friends with people. I think my problem with Lala too is that then she just constantly talks shit about them in the press. Like, there is something to be said for the softer side and a healing journey where you keep other people's names out of your mouth and realize life's hard and you just choose not to hang out with them. But she's on a reality show. I don't know. It's difficult. Anyways, Allie's like, what happened this time? And she goes, well, she got really upset with her for going to lunch with Joe and not telling her and for just going in general. And Allie's like, you went to lunch with Joe? And Lala goes like, yeah, we grabbed a hot dog. And Allie's like, how is she? Because I'm glad you did. I felt bad. I wondered where she's been. And Lala goes, Joe's a little hard to follow. She's kind of all over the place. I didn't really put her on the spot and I didn't want to overwhelm her. And I was like, yeah. And Lala goes, but talking to Katie, she got really upset. And she said, I like loyalty. And Sheena's like, and consistency. And Lala's like, and consistency. And I'm like, hold the fuck up. First of all, loyalty coming from the girl who just fucked her ex's best friend. And Sheena's like, I love the way this is framed. What about Schwartz's best friend fucked his ex-wife? Why is it just so funny, man? Lala's like, and they're lucky they didn't care. And it's very clear that I know that my friend is unhappy. I know she's been unhappy for a long time. And I've tried to like baby her, but I'm not going to be on the receiving end of you going crazy. I don't know if I like, I would love to see more scenes of Lala. What is babying Katie? Does that just mean being nice to Katie? What does that mean? Katie doesn't seem like someone who needs to be babied. She seems pretty standoffish most of the time. Katie seems like somebody that's used to people not liking her. And I truly believe Katie doesn't care anymore. Like, she really seems relatively unaffected. She's not like kowtowing to Lala. Like, she does stand up for herself. And I think sometimes that's very threatening to Lala because Lala does go every which way, you know? Anyways, they're just fighting in the background. Pop, 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 pop. And then we cut to another beautiful day in LA. We breeze over to Schwartz's apartment in the old Valley Village. And the camera shows us little details laying around the apartment. There's a handwritten yellow sticky post-it that says, you make me happy. And that's hard to do. I'm guessing that's from Joe. And it's laying next to a Joe My Gosh bracelet. A white paper with a handwritten love you dad hanging on the fridge with a Wisconsin magnet and a Polaroid picture of Joe also hanging on the fridge. And Joe's like, okay, you ready, Butters? And she blows a little whistle that sounds like a bird that confuses Butters. And Schwartz walks in the door. So it's weird. Joe is there like doing dishes. And I don't know if Joe still lives there or what the deal is. And Schwartz is like, Jesus, oh, that's the most normal thing I ever walked into. And Joe's just loading the dishwasher. And Joe's like, you've been juicing? And Schwartz is like, yeah, I've been juicing my balls off. And Joe laughs. And Schwartz is like, yep. Hey, the producers are making me have this scene with you. And I don't want to because I would just let it keep going forever. But what happened the other night? I'm a little confused. Am I sending you mixed signals? Is it my dick in your vagina? Could that be doing it constantly? Because I know we have such a good time together and we have this undeniable chemistry. And Joe is just staring at him and puts her hands up like she goes, arr! She puts her hands up like claws and bares her teeth. Like, arr! And Schwartz throws it all up and goes, that being said, I don't want to be in a relationship at all. I love that. Like, Joe does a tiger pose and Schwartz just keeps going like it's totally normal. And Schwartz is like, I want to date people that don't kill turtles. No, I'm still thinking about that Joe story from a couple episodes ago where she killed the turtle as a kid. Schwartz is like, I want to date other people. I am dating other people. I get numbers. I hook up with people. Three girls are in my closet right now. And Joe's like, correct. And Schwartz is like, and, but I can't date anybody. And Joe's like, can you imagine how I feel after being like around you for the past year and a half? And Schwartz is like, yeah. And Joe's like, we have been there for each other. And Schwartz laughs and goes, ha, we have, but I know. And Joe's like, but shut the fuck up. Are you embarrassed by me? And Schwartz is like, no, not at all, Joseph. My God, people are saying that you're saying behind closed doors that we're secretly dating. Or is it okay that we keep I love, and Joe's like, no, it's not. Schwartz is like, okay, then that's okay. Then maybe we need to like, yeah, maybe we need to not hang out as much. He won't look at her when he says this. And Joe's like, or at all. And Schwartz is like, well, that's fine too. You know, I mean, yeah. And I think, Joe, that's great. That's the yes. If you want something, and if like that's at the end of the day, that's what you want, to be with Schwartz. And you know that he's not going to don't stay around for that. Like, just don't. Because Schwartz is not going to be that person that like shuts it down completely, you know? And like Schwartz grabs his hair and pulls on it, which can't be good for the blonde. And Schwartz and a Talking Head's like, to hear her say, it's kind of like gut-wrenching a little bit, you know? Me and Joe have had like this fantastic voyage full of compassion, support, maybe even love. It'd be a fucking tragedy if we just sort of never hung out or never talked again. And Schwartz sits on the sofa and is like, maybe sometimes it's mixed signals because we have a fucking good time together. I just want to have fun. And Joe sits too. And he's like, we get it. We get it. And Schwartz is like, I don't want to send mixed signals. And Joe's like, we get it. And Schwartz is like, but I just can't. And Joe's like, would you say that we probably have a really weird connection? Because everyone else sees it. And Schwartz is like, yeah, yeah, we do. Which is such a sad line because she's saying like, everybody else thinks that we potentially could be together. Why can't you? And Joe's like, it's so easy. You know what I mean? Like us together would be so, we'd be disgustingly ugly and old. So like, you know, it's like Joe's picturing them getting old together and Schwartz laughs and Joe's like, and laughing and all those things. And Schwartz is like, yeah, we would. And Joe's like, do you agree? And Schwartz is like, 100%. And Joe's like, yeah. So that's why I need to take some time because deep down I do have feelings for you. And Schwartz is twisting his hair. Just it's falling out everywhere. And he's like, yeah, same with me. But it's not that I'm denying them. And Joe's like, I'm not asking you to explain to me. And Schwartz is like, I know in my heart. And Joseph, and she starts crying. Don't cry, Joseph. And Joe's tearing up. And it's, you know, it's like, it's nothing wrong. It's just that I'm being honest with you, Schwartz. And Schwartz is like, I love that. I love when you're honest with me. And Joe's like wiping away tears. She's like, it's like, I would never pressure you. You know that. And Schwartz is like, no, I never felt pressure. And Joe's like, I always let you do you. And Schwartz is like, yeah, yeah. And I let you do you. But here's the problem, folks, is that the you know, that is true. Schwartz lets her do her. But the only her that Joe wants to do is the her with Schwartz. Like her doing, like you doing you to Joe means her being with Schwartz. You know, like Schwartz is on this whole other path of what he wants his life to be. And, you know, the path that Joe wants to be on is the Schwartz path. So Schwartz letting Joe be Joe is not going to do anything because Joe wants to be with Schwartz. And Joe's like, exactly. That's what I'm saying. That's the most amazing thing that we have. And like laughter and the banter and shit and me ruining your hair. But I'm just saying, I'm going to miss that. And Schwartz is like, yeah. And Joe's like, and I think that only comes around once in a while. And it's okay for us to just say, well, maybe we'll find it somewhere else, you know? And Schwartz says solemnly, yeah. Joe in a Talking Head sitting cross-legged goes, it's really hard. I just want him to be happy, you know, massively. He's my favorite person in the world, and I don't care what he says about me, but that's the goddamn truth. I think the world of him. I mean, she did like a lovely Instagram post, like shouting the praises of Schwartz a couple weeks ago. Joe begins to cry harder, and Schwartz is like, Joseph, here, take Butters. Like, here, I'll give you my dog. And Joe gets up, and she goes, I want to call my dad, and walks out of the apartment. And Schwartz goes to the door, is like, Joseph, Joseph. I got to tell you, in 11 seasons of Vanderpump Rules, that might be one of the top 10 really fucked up, sad, realistic moments of somebody saying, I want to call my dad. Like that was brutal. Of somebody at an emotional place getting so frazzled by a situation where they're just like, I want to call my dad. Like to me, that was so real. And it was so real. And, you know, but Schwartz going to the door and like, Joseph, I know he feels like, oh, I've got to check on her. But like, no, man, you got to let her go. You got to let her go. just, you got to let her figure it out. And that's the hard thing is that, you know, it's like, it's hard. You don't want people to be mad at you, but it's like, you just, Schwartz is never going to be able to give Joe what she ultimately wants. And Joe has spent so much time convincing herself and fooling herself that Schwartz eventually will be with her. And it just never, never was going to happen. Never. And it's a bummer, right? Like, that is a bummer. So many people have been in that situation. It's a real massive bummer. And the song plays over it very heavy handed. Like, the song lyrics are you sorry? Are you sorry? You're trying to let me down. Let me down. And they show Polaroids of Schwartz and Joe on the fridge. And that's the end of the episode. And it's wild. Like, that is, it's really sad, you know? And then, you know, it really was a bummer. It was a very sad way to end that episode. What a weird, weird episode. So many things didn't fit together. There were like cringy moments. It is interesting when Sandoval almost takes a back seat to the narrative structure. You realize what a non-entity sometimes Sandoval can be. Like, you're like, oh yeah, he's just like another guy. And I don't know. I think I felt really bad for Joe, but I will say Joe did willingly put herself in that situation. Like, the big shocker was that they were still sleeping together. I didn't know that. I thought it happened like in the beginning, like a year and a half ago, and then just stopped and they were just buddies. But no, it was like continually happening. And that's the part that Schwartz didn't show on camera. And that's like the bummer of that whole thing. So that's it. Now on the after show, yeah, we keep on going over here. The after show, it's just such a goof fest. Sandoval is, you know, talking about the furniture, and Ariana's talking about it and going like, hey, looking at the credit card receipts, it did say that I paid for most of the stuff in the house of my own credit card receipts. And Sandoval's making it out like, I don't pay for anything. I don't do anything. It's really hard. Like, with any kind of narrative storytelling structure, Sandoval can say something or anybody can say anything in the show, and then we just believe it. But then you have the after show where it's like, no, these are my credit card receipts. I've paid for everything. So it's like, narratives are really dangerous. Like, listening to other people that don't have a great track record of telling the truth, it's like, you shouldn't take that as gospel. You gotta, but it's hard. Like, I almost feel frustrated that some of this stuff is on the after show. I wish it was on the main show because not everybody sees the after show. But Sandoval in his little scene, he's like, I don't see the point of donating furniture, like giving it away. Like, you know, the response to my offer for the house said she'll take whatever she wanted and then just donate the rest. And it's like, no, you will not take that mirror, dude. I got that mirror at HG Buttercups with 2 to 3 rugs. And I bought the mirror on that same day. I love those mirrors. Of course, Tom Sandoval would love a mirror. Of course. And he's like, I paid for that bed, dude. I put a safe in it. I paid for that custom credenza and I put a refrigerator in it. Like, I love that all of his, like, the stuff he paid for, it's all like contraptions and like booby trap. I keep my samurai swords in there, dude. And Ariana says to Katie and her scene is like, I think he just thought I would pack a backpack and just go. And Katie's like, man, the lies he tells himself. He looks at himself as, I think, like, it's like weird. Sandoval sometimes weirdly thinks of himself as solo instead of as part of a team in the past. So he's like, I did this. He tells the guys, he's like, yeah, we're going to figure it out with some sort of judgment, you know, without any sort of judgment. I don't want this to be, he actually says, I don't want this to be hard on her in terms of like divvying up stuff. You don't want this to be hard on her? Like, let's just rewind like 30 seconds ago. He's like, I gave her a top dollar market value offer, dude. Ariana says in her scene, when you're, she's like, when your own best friend is a real estate agent and says the best thing to do is to sell the house, you're probably the problem. And this is in regards to Tom Sandoval. It's like, that's what they were recommended to do, but he's holding on to this. And Katie's like, yeah, that's his smash pad, bro. I think it is weird. Like, Sandoval, there is a like world in which you could get a new awesome place that didn't attach to any of those memories that you had. I do understand that it is a little insulting. It's like, you know, for all intents and purposes, this was this home you created together. I can see the point of Ariana and I can see you wanting to stay there, but it almost seems lazy in a way. And it really almost seems like so disingenuous and so unemotional. And like, it's almost a bigger slap in the face of like, no, I could keep fucking here, dude. This is a fuck pad. Like, he already fucked Raquel there when she was like, Ariana was upstairs. Like, why couldn't it's just weird. It's really that, like, that's really dark. That's sociopathic. Lala is in a scene with Brittany on the after show and talking about meeting up with Joe. Said Katie was livid. And I was like, Katie, that's Katie being livid. Katie was literally just going like, why, what? Katie didn't even raise her voice in that scene. Lala did. But Lala was like, Katie was livid. And Lala says, everyone has a right to feel how they want to feel. And I have every right to not care how you feel. And she's like, I've been a dog in everyone's fight. No one's been there for me. And I'm like, that's so not true. That is so not true. You've been a dog in you've been a dog in everyone's fight. Like, to the point where you're like, you don't like literally have any loyalty to everyone. And I feel like I've seen so many scenes of people standing up for Lala. I mean, I remember when like Stassi and Katie and all those girls were picking on Lala the first seasons. And when Ariana was standing up for her, when like, I remember those scenes, like people have stood up for Lala many times on the show. And Brittany's just laughing at Lala popping off. She's like, ah, they talk about embracing Lala's softer side. They ask Katie and Ariana about Lala's softer side. And Katie's like, well, you're not being soft with me or Ariana. You're being quite the opposite. And she's like, I think she wants to embrace that. but that has to come from a healing journey. So Katie's like, I agree with Lala. I think she wants to do that, but that has to come from a healing journey. That's a very personal journey. And you'll never truly be in on a healing journey. Oh no, I wrote, you'll never be truly in on a healing journey on a reality show. It's not possible. I firmly believe that you will never be able to show an authentic healing journey on a reality show because reality shows revolve around conflict. So it's almost impossible to have a healing journey on a reality show. And if you had a true healing journey on a reality show, it'd be boring as fuck because it's so personal that no one would understand it. You've seen like little like bits and pieces of people improving themselves, but a pure healing journey. And if you really were on one, you wouldn't want to be on a reality show. The other thing that's weird about all of this is Lala, I think they even talk about in the, what's weird is the girls are like, you know, it's weird about Lala because she's so warm and that's the conundrum. And that's the thing is that like, I think Lala, like even outside of the show, one of the nicer people you will probably ever meet. I mean, so charming, so, you know, just, I don't know. So sometimes it feels a little forced on the show, but also they're like, why are you always overextending yourself? And I think she's overextending herself because she is trying to make this show work. And I feel like that is disingenuous in terms of the show, but a great reality show character. I mean, listen, I've talked about her majority of this. I mean, it's very fascinating. I just don't love the way she's moving this season, but I also think Lala thinks she can make anything work. Like, oh, it's in my hands to make sure this show goes on. And it's not that. I hope she can get away from that and trust in the producers, trust in her fellow castmates, and trust in the reality of the situation, which we want to see. And also, there's like an ego there. It's not Sandoval ego, but there's such a big ego there that I think she sometimes thinks she is the only person going through certain things. And so she doesn't sometimes extend the same courtesy as she wants extended to her with her life events. And Brittany's like, oh, the softer side of Lala. I always see the softer side of Lala. And then they do a flashback to when Lala called her Honey Boo Boo in one of the earlier episodes. And Brittany's like, don't call me Honey Boo Boo. But yeah, I think Lala is so nice in real life. Anyways, they say Brittany asks if Katie has ever come to Lala's defense because she says, I don't feel like anyone on the cast has ever done that for me. But like, it's just very interesting. Brittany says, it's always better to be the nice person if you ask me. And I think Brittany does live by that or tries to. Lala says, if I can make it easier to hang out and come around Schwartz with Joe, why, like Lala says, hanging out with Joe, it's like, well, yeah, maybe I can make it easier to hang out and have her come around with Schwartz. But my thing is, why would you do that from any standpoint? Why do you want to make it easier to come out with Schwartz if you know that Schwartz is treating Joe inappropriately? Why do you want to make it easier for her? Like, that's the weird thing. Like, we're thinking about all these angles when it's like, okay, but think about the angle of the man of like, well, don't make it easier for Schwartz. Like, you can like protect Joe, but like, don't encourage like Schwartz to be bringing her around. That's part of the problem. That's Joe's ultimate problem. At the end of the day, it's not the bullying. It's the fact that Schwartz doesn't want to be with her. The guys in their scene, I mean, Sandoval, Schwartz, and Jackson is seen. They talk about, did you know Tom and Katie were dating the same woman? And Jax just laughs. He's like, oh my God, that's crazy. But Schwartz says, like, in 2018, me and Katie, we bought a home together and we were happy as fuck, more or less. And now we're vying for the same underage chick. And Sandoval's like, small world, dude. In Katie's scene, she says, she had been interested in Tori before Tom Schwartz was interested, and Ariana can vouch for that. And that's what, like I said earlier in the show, like, why date men at all? Like, just go for women. They're going to treat you better. Like, period. Go that way. Fuck the patriarchy completely. Like, for real. Schwartz said he had, Sheena says in her scene in the after show, she's like, Schwartz had a crush on Tori for a couple of years. And Sheena was like, but I thought it was weird at the age range. You know, I thought it was weird, but then I thought maybe, and then Katie, like, and I was like, wait, Schwartz has had a crush on her for a couple of years? Like when she was literally underage? but Sheena's like, let the best person win. And Katie says, listen, I can't do right in any people's eyes in regards to like Schwartz and Sandoval, my fashion style, anything. I do think it's interesting, the circle of people that they deal with and the new people get brought into the circle. Like Tori, like, is like a periphery person because of Sheena. And then two people on the cast jump for her because that circle is so damn small and they probably protect themselves because the show is so out of hand and people wanting to get on it and people wanting to be friends with them and using them and doing everything that they can to be around them of like, yeah, I'll do this. I'll pay for this. I'll do that. Like, I mean, it's wild to watch that shit go down. Like, firsthand. And Jeremiah jokes with Katie, the producer that's doing the questions, and it's like, hey, that's why you hooked up with Joe, right, Katie? And Katie's like, okay, bud. We cut to Jack's asking what happened to Katie's ex, Satchel, and he was like, I just wanted to say the name Satchel. Ha ha, Satchel Maloney. Schwartz is like, I don't know anything about Katie's dating life besides her and Max had sex, but if she ever wanted to tell me about it, it wouldn't make me uncomfortable, which is okay, man. And then they ask, what was your relationship with Joe last year? And he's like, Joe came in like a bat out of heaven in my life. It felt right, but it had a limited shelf life, like a supernova. And they say, he says they're all good right now. Everything's fine. And then, in DJ James Kennedy and Brock's scene, Brock's like, I always felt like she was in love with Schwartz. I felt like he was, you know, like I felt like he was, you know, leading her on, you know, when she wanted to, like when he wanted to bang, you know, he wanted to bang. And DJ James Kennedy is like, yeah, Schwartz, he just wants to make out with girls he meets at See You Next Tuesday. Come on. Brock was concerned about the amount of emotion he got when talking to Joe, but he wouldn't get that same emotion talking to Schwartz. And Schwartz says by the time cameras went up this season, him and Joe had kind of fizzled out, which is wild because I wish a follow-up question being like, but then why were you still sleeping with her? They talk about Tom's blonde hair and Sandoval is like, yeah, dude, you know, you just got to pick certain clothes to make the hair look better, you know? Lala says Joe is not going to have any more clients after that hairdo. But they all agree that Schwartz is a good-looking dude. I agree with that as well. James also once again points out he's proud. He's like, I was the first to notice his hair. Schwartz's hair was getting a weird color. I noticed it first. And I'm like, dude, you're doing it as well. So that was like kind of the highlights of, you know, that was the highlights of the after show. A couple more things. I know this has been so jam packed. We had so much fun today, right? I was reading in my Facebook group. This was so interesting. Sydney from our Facebook group. I love Sydney. She was just talking about the vitriol Lala is getting this season. And she said, like, I've never felt the need to absolutely go in on her the way I'm seeing people online do, to the point where I'm like, whoa, is this Tom Sandoval? Is this Raquel? I'm scrolling through TikTok and I see an account with a larger following post a video and say, I hope Ocean gets cheated on for 9 months. So you know how it feels, Lala. Excuse me, she writes. I know we've all been really invested in the show over the last year. I know a lot of people love Ariana and feel the need to protect her, but the amount of absolutely vile behavior going on towards Lala is insane. Like, are we any better than her? Here we are getting upset at her for not being a girl's girl or being a mean girl, but are we any better? I know Ariana's got this. We don't need to add to it. I know this knowing we are leading into Real Housewives of New Jersey, an extremely toxic franchise with a toxic fan base. Oh my God, you can say that again. I was looking at New Jersey clips today, and I was like, just reading on Twitter, I was like, oh, I forgot. You sometimes forget like how the Jersey, it's scary as hell, that Jersey stuff. Like, I mean, it goes, like, I don't know that people commented on it. Like, are you like, make a reality show about those people, because they are going hog wild for years now. But she says, when do us as fans stop? We don't know these people. We don't know their lives. We just see a very edited viewing 45 minutes a week for our enjoyment. What do you guys think? So I thought this was a great, interesting question. And listen, that, like, seeing some TikTokers saying, I hope Ocean gets cheated on for 9 months so you know how it feels, Lala. What the fuck? Go out and touch grass. Are you kidding me? No, like, listen, I comment on this stuff all the time. This is what I now do for a living, unfortunately, or fortunately. I actually really like it. But when I see things, I'm very passionate about it. I call it out. I've tried to always really be respectful about Lala, even with all of that. I try to always compliment her and, you know, really try to think out positive things I can say, because I think Lala is going to be just fine. I do get frustrated, though. I think it is not fair. And yes, it's a highly edited 45 minutes, but it's not only that, Sydney. It's like, then we get her podcast. We go her doing the press tours. She does keep it going. She actually adds fuel to the fire. She's almost sometimes, I feel like, kind of trying to bring that behavior on. Like, it's almost like, I don't care if it's good or bad, just talk about me. Sometimes it feels that way. And I think she does have some master plan, but yeah, I think there is a point where you can go too far. Like, that's an insane comment to make. Like, my God, who writes that and then goes, that really is bizarre. But yeah, like, toxicity is rampant, especially in Bravo, or kind of a lot of fandoms, actually. You can break that down into, but it is, you know, Lala does not do herself any favors in her own behavior. But we do comment on what the show shows us in this highly edited 45 minute version. But even like I said, like, it's so many other things besides just the show. If it was just the show, it'd be one thing, but it's everything else. But yeah, I believe, my God, there is a time where you do take it too far. And the funny thing is, if you've watched Lala all these seasons, you know, next season she'll have a completely different take. You know, it will come back. And I think that's the fortunate or unfortunate thing about reality television that I always say, it lives and dies on us. Second screen technology, us posting in Facebook groups, Reddit threads, all of this stuff. It adds this whole other level that really shoots these shows up into a level of success that they wouldn't have without it. It depends on us on our screens. And unfortunately, it is geared towards more negative things. And we are coming still on the heels, if not almost off the heels, of Scandaball. So everybody is primed. But that's why I think everybody, or me particularly, if we're just talking about me, is very frustrated with Lala, because I'm like, we have a real opportunity here to really talk about what happened and talk about the behavior there. And it's frustrating, because I'm like, Lala, we got right there up to the precipice of, like, really blowing this thing open, and you're dialing it back and throwing attention every which way, but where it should be. So that can be really frustrating. And I think people obviously have no tact or a light touch, and they go for the jugular because they've seen Lala go for the jugular. So they think it's okay. But even besides that, there's just some really scary people out there. But I really do appreciate this question. And it's great, though, because it's stuff I think about all the time. And like, okay, how can I be better? How can I do this or that? And it's interesting, right? It is interesting. It's something that I do constantly think about, but it's weird because I think we're all very passionate about this, and we're primed to do this. Like, we're fed all of these, not just the show, the podcast, all of that stuff. But I thought this was so interesting, and it's something I'm going to continue to think about. And I'm curious what you guys think about it as well, because I think this is just a really great question that's Sydney poised. I thought that was great. I'm just going to keep saying it. I'm sorry. I'm looking for something else. So I'm like, I thought it was great. I just think it really is. Okay. Two more audio clips. This is from Fancy Drew Bravo Archive on Twitter @_lower_level. Talking about Andy Cohen on his Sirius radio show, which I'll be on Jeff Lewis tomorrow. So listen if you guys have Sirius. Remember when Andy said on the way to the reunion that he thought Brock and Lala were the voice of reason this season, and he got a lot of pushback. And here Andy is talking about that.
Brock are the now it is Vanderpump Rules night. I gotta tell you, I said something very offhandedly on this broadcast about 3 weeks ago that has just been clogging up a Twitter timeline ever since, and not in a positive way.
I like when Andy uses his sexy voice. I've been getting my Twitter feed clogged up, and not in a good way.
And that is that I believe that I, again, kind of offhandedly said that Lala and Brock are the voices of reason this season. Well, people are doubting my sanity. They think I am. And they also just think I'm a horrible person for saying so. Let me just say, again, I'm enjoying Lala and Brock this season. That's all. Voices of Reason is, I guess y'all got me there. Because, you know, it's a show in which there is maybe not a ton of reason. And maybe that's why we like it. But again, I just will say, I'll just say it in a different way. I'm really enjoying Lala and Brock this season.
Okay, so I think that's interesting. And that's something I think I said earlier as well, is that like, if you really love Lala this season, you're saying, and this is totally valid, you love somebody that stirs the pot, somebody that does like kind of create these dramas where there doesn't need to be. But this person like going over these lines that we normally wouldn't do in friend groups, right? Because normally we wouldn't do this. We wouldn't be meeting up with an ex's new situationship just to make them feel welcome. Normally we wouldn't do that. But in reality shows, we do. So I sometimes think, and even with Brock, when he's like throwing, I'm going to throw my 2 cents in on ladies' issues. If you really like that, it's not the voice of reason. It's just you like people that are trying to make things happen. And I think that's an interesting and different way that we look at it. Okay. And here is Sheena last night, poor Sheena, talking about Lala's frustration towards Ariana.
Talking about your best friend, Ari.
Oh, here we go.
E. St. Clair 69, great Twitter handle, says, how do you feel about Lala talking about your best friend, Ariana, so poorly?
Here's the thing. I understand Lala's frustration, and I will say that on the contrary, Lala has said a lot of things about me recently that I really appreciate, and I think she is loyal as hell, and she's an incredible friend. So I understand her frustration, and I think after the reunion and finale airs, everyone else will understand as well.
Okay, so that's, I mean, Andy asks a question from a Twitter user, and I like that it's like, you know, I understand Lala's frustration, but Lala has also said things about, she said very nice things about me. So I love, she was like, I understand Lala's frustration, but she has, you got to remember, she has said very nice things about me. But Sheena goes on to say, you will understand more of this in the finale and the reunion. And you're like, okay, so this is what I've been saying too. Is there a piece of this that we don't know yet? Is Lala holding the keys to the kingdom? Something that we don't know that is going to change our minds that will be like, oh shit, Lala, of course. But I will say Sheena has a track record of some, like I remember when everybody was asking her, I think including me, of like, whoa, did you make out with Schwartz? Like, cause it was in the trailer for the new season. And she's like, no, no, you'll see, you'll see. And I'm like, we did see, and it seemed kind of weird. Oh, I love all these crazy kids. And I love you guys. We did it. What a clusterfuck of a show. This show and the actual Vanderpump Rules. I hope some of you guys had a good time. I hope you did. And I will. I might not talk to you on Friday. I was going to try to do the Valley recap tonight to put it out on Friday because I'm doing that LASIK surgery tomorrow. I'm told I'm not going to be feeling my best, but hopefully I will. And the Valley recap will be out there at some point, up there at some point. But I hope you have the best Thursday ever. I really do hope you laughed at some of this. And yeah, listen to me on Jeff Lewis tomorrow morning. Thank you guys for being here. I don't know what I'm doing with my life, you guys. So thank you for being here. And I'll talk to you very, very soon. Bye. So Bad It's Good is a Betches Media production. The show is hosted and produced by me, Ryan Bailey, with Meditza Lopez and Sandra Fryer. Additional support provided by Sean Kilby, Jorge Morales-Pico, and Rebecca Steinberg. Guest booking by Allie Friedlander. Video promotion by Laura Valencia. Be sure to send us your emails at SoBadIt'sGood@RyanBailey.com and follow the show at SoBadIt'sGood@RyanBailey on Instagram. And for additional craziness, go to Patreon.com/SoBadIt'sGood. Stay bad, baddies. Thank you to our sponsor, Hulu. Their new reality series, Vanderpump Villa, is an unfiltered portrait of what it is like to work in the glamorous French countryside while striving to impress Lisa Vanderpump. As guests arrive for their lavish vacation, the Vanderpump Villa staff are pushed to their limits, ready to cater to every whim, all the while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu.
Betches.